Hi, my name is Paul Dunay, and welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast. Welcome to another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast, conducted in cooperation with Marketing Props. I'm your host, Paul Dunay, and today I'm speaking with Rohit Bhargava, Senior Vice President, Digital Strategy and Marketing for Ogilvy Public Relations, and a recent author of a book called Personality Not Included. So welcome to the podcast, Rohit.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to explore Rohit's new book, Personality Not Included, which goes into depth about great companies and brands and how they must evoke a more dynamic personality in order to attract and retain their customers. So what do you think the primary challenge companies are having in creating this more dynamic personality?
I think it's really that you need to look at the opposite of personality, which I sort of define to be facelessness. And if you think about facelessness, the real situation that causes that is companies that say to their employees, you're not allowed to talk about anything that is off script. You're not allowed to represent the company as a real person, and therefore the company itself becomes faceless. And so the idea of creating this dynamic personality, the big challenge that a lot of companies have is rethinking their attitude towards what their employees are able to say and talk about.
Now, do you think that this, you know, facelessness and this off script extends from the brand? Because that gave me a very public relations feel about being off script. Do you think it extends from the brand in the sense that command and control messaging isn't alive anymore?
Well, it's interesting because if you think about facelessness and how organizations became faceless, it's interesting to think about today because I think that kind of universally, if you mention that to anyone, they'll say, oh yeah, why would a company ever be faceless? The interesting thing that you start to realize if you look at the history of a lot of these companies that are now today faceless is that the reason why they've ended up here is because at one point in the past, facelessness used to work. And in fact, that's what companies strive for. And if you think about it, the bigger a company got, the more layers they added, and the more seriously people took them. And so this facelessness became this effect where if you called up and you talked to the CEO right away, you might think, oh, this company is not really big enough for me to trust. And so companies sort of have this necessity for becoming faceless. And today, if you flip that around, people who might pick up the phone, imagine if you picked up the phone and you got the CEO right away, you'd think, wow, this is, you know, what kind of attention they pay to customers, right? The reaction would be a lot different. And so what's happened today is because a lot of these companies are in this mode of facelessness, the real difficult thing is to try and shift out of it because the market shifted out of it.
Right. I mean, I can totally see as you were saying, that the bigger that they got, the more faceless they became. So do you suggest a framework to help companies or the framework that companies must follow in order to counteract this?
I do. I think that one of the first things that I talk about is this idea of what I call the accidental spokesperson. And if you think about it, really the effect of this idea is that now in a company, you can no longer say this person or these individuals are my message-trained individuals and they're the only ones that talk about the company. Because I think we're starting to see that, number one, employees aren't following that. They're starting to blog. They're starting to have their own voices. And the other interesting thing is that now you've got this category of people that are alternately called sort of people who are creating consumer-generated media or citizen marketers or any other term that you want to apply to these people. But these are customers who are now talking about your brand and your products and your services because they're consuming them and they have an opinion about them. And the interesting effect of social media, and what I try and do in the book is I try and talk about social media as an effect, but the book is not about social media. And I think that's an interesting distinction because a lot of people might equate that and say, okay, well, personality, well, here's a book that's all about sort of blogging and social media. And really it's not. What it's about is the idea that social media is one platform that lets people share these opinions, but the idea of personality in a business is a culture shift idea. It's an idea that a business needs to change the way that they think about how they communicate with their customers, whether that's a customer service function or whether that's a marketing function or whether it's their advertising. It all fits together.
Right. Now, that's perfect, because, you know, what I was beginning to think is there a lot of resistance from within? So creating that culture shift, you know, how do you do that?
Well, I think the framework that is laid out in the book is that there's a couple things. My background is really based on working in an agency and working with a lot of different brands. And so the book is not written for large companies or small companies in particular. It's written really across the spectrum, and I've got some tools that I use to try and make sure that the lessons were equally applicable. But I think the main thing that people will really find out of this is that what I'm saying isn't just for large companies in the tech industry. It's really across the board. And the reason for that is because I try and highlight some central truths. So the way that I'm defining personality and the framework for that is that it's really three components. It's that a company needs to be unique, it needs to be authentic, and it needs to be talkable. And so I talk about those three elements as sort of elements of a triangle. And putting those together is what helps you to come up with what your personality for your brand should be. But then there's this whole idea of, I mean, one of the concepts that I really focus on very much is the idea of the backstory, which is what's the essence of the brand, the story behind the brand that gets people to connect with it so that they have something to tell other people about. And that's a very storytelling kind of aspect of that. So I think we're seeing some books now that are starting to kind of take marketing in this trend of storytelling as marketing. So it does talk about that, but it talks about it not so much in terms of here's this long drawn-out story, but more in terms of taking lessons from screenwriting, which I think is a great example for marketing, because screenwriting, if you think about it, is dialogue that's written to be said as opposed to written to be read. And I think that a lot of marketers are used to writing things that are not spoken, and because of that, they lose this rhythm of dialogue that I think that a lot of marketing needs, because without that, you end up having this baseless description of your company on the about page of your website that just nobody reads, and if anybody ever does read it, they just kind of shudder to themselves and think, my God, who wrote that?
Right, and I love that analogy, read versus said. So often, you know, we are constructing pieces for them to be read and, you know, really putting a fine point on them, but are they creating that conversation starter? You know, maybe not. Storytelling as marketing is great, but I wonder, are there firms that are unique enough, because if your triangle is unique, authentic, and talkable, you know, what if they manufacture bolts, right? I mean, are they unique enough, and is there something there to talk about? Sure, they can be authentic, but, you know, is there something to say? So, in other words, are there companies that are just maybe not cut out for this?
Yeah, that's a very common question from a lot of companies, because you think about the range of things that people could be making. You know, I mean, any kind of widget, any kind of anything. And I get this question relatively often from business-to-business marketers as well, because they say, well, you know, I'm selling, you know, steel or something like that. And so I've got an example in the book that is really interesting because it does kind of fit in this category. It's an example of Dole, essentially, and it's all about bananas. And the idea that bananas are pretty much the same whether you buy them from one company or another. I mean, it's the ultimate commodity product, right? You walk into the grocery store, you see the bananas, as long as they're not brown and crusty, you know, if they look like real bananas, then you're going to go and pick them up, and you won't really be able to tell the difference. And the interesting thing is that you know, when you think about the involvement of a purchase like that, it's very low, right? And so how would you have a banana that has personality? Dole did a very interesting thing, which is that they created this program that they called the Farm Code program, which essentially puts a three-digit code on all of their bananas. And if you go online and you type in that code, you'll get to see the farm where that banana was grown. And not just the farm, but you'll get to see pictures of the people who are in Colombia or another country picking these bananas, and you can actually write to them, and they'll actually write back. And there's a couple of great stories about how they've written back. And so here's an example of a commodity product that people can't tell the difference between what they make and what somebody else makes, and yet they're adding this element of humanity, they're adding this element of personality that gets people to think, you know, maybe I should think about getting the Dole banana versus the other banana.
I love that example. It's fantastic. I mean, you've taken, like you said, a commodity product and you've made it talkable. You know, you've given it a history, you've given it, you've changed it from a commodity. I mean, it's not a commodity at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And there's some, and they have some great stories of people who actually do respond to that. I mean, you might think to yourself, okay, there's some people who will respond to that and some people who won't, but that's just one example. And so there's always a possibility. I mean, I get the same question a lot, which is, does my business really need to have this personality? And really the argument of the book is that every business needs this.
Cool. Now, you see a lot of people out there on the blogosphere that are, let's say, personal brands. Now, do you think that this approach can even apply with a personal brand too?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've started to give a couple of seminars to, I mean, obviously us being now in May, a real topical thing is college students graduating and trying to get their first jobs, really. So I started talking to a couple of these students, and you know, their concern is all the same, which is, how am I going to get that job that I want, and how am I going to stand out? And I think that personal branding is not all about getting a job, obviously, but for them, that's the big concern on their minds. And so one of the things that I start to talk about to them is, a lot of times personality is the one piece that is going to get you to stand out, because if you put one resume of a you know, a college kid from a good school next to another one, you get the similar grade point averages. I mean, maybe it's one point off here and there, but that's not how people get hired. And I think we all know that. Anybody who's hired anybody knows that, right? That the real reason why somebody gets hired is because of the chemistry that they have with the people that they might work with. And yeah, the skills need to be there, but essentially what you're hiring is somebody who can fit into your team, and that's the personality basis. So one of the interesting things that I talk about in the book is, I do sort of redefine personality, because I don't talk about personality in the book as if it were your individual personality. I'm really talking about brands and businesses, but there's a big element of this that talks about how your personal brand needs to rise, and that's a big thing that I've kind of spoken about and written about, and I actually have a custom piece that's going to be coming out probably in the next couple weeks that is all about the idea of personality in relation to personal brand versus personality in relation to an organization, which is sort of more of the sense of what the book is about.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining me today, Rohit. I really appreciate your time. And for our listeners, now it's your turn. Please let us know what you're doing to give your brand a more dynamic personality. Rohit and I will be here and be available to keep this conversation going with you online. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to having you back next week on another Buzz Marketing for Technology podcast.